Welcome, everybody, to this week's edition of 3 Up, 3 Down. We hope you all had a happy Mother's Day. None was as happy, probably, as the mothers of Joey Votto and Giancarlo Stanton, as they both hit walk-off grand slams on Mother's Day. Very nice presents for their mothers. We, though, will just give our mothers the gift of this podcast and the Pandora charm I gave her, but still, the podcast is more important. Let me introduce my baseball roundtable associates once again for this week. We'll start it off with Angela Felicia representing the American League Central.
Hi, Mom.
Over to the American League West, representing them, Brian Boynton.
Hello.
And to the National League guys, representing the National League Central, KP Kurt Peter.
Hey, hey, hey.
And last but not least, well, actually, I don't know who would be the least out of you guys, so we'll say we're all even. But last, Jeremy Dorn, representing the National League West.
I'll take the least. I'll take the fall, guys.
All right, Jeremy, you are now officially the least out of all of us. That is recorded for all times. Now, he said Joey Votto and Giancarlo had the best Mother's Day, Joey Votto with 3 home runs, and both had walk-off grand slams, but Josh Hamilton instead decided to give his mother gifts all week long. He went 467 with 9 home runs this past week, 18 RBIs, including a 4 home run game against the Baltimore Orioles, having possibly the greatest game offensively for an American League player with 18 total bases. Brian, you're the Texas Rangers fan. How excited are you for Josh Hamilton? Is this something that you think can continue all season, or is he just exploding now in this contract year?
Well, first off, I would like to retract my statement from a few weeks ago where I said I would trade Josh Hamilton straight up for Cole Hamels. I would like to retract that trade proposal off the board.
But, smart move.
Thank you. If you remember 2010 when Josh Hamilton won the MVP, that year he hit 356, 32 home runs. So he's capable of doing this, but with him, as always, it's a question of his health. Can he remain healthy? And he's already been hampered by a back injury, which I guess is a good thing because when he came off that, he hit 4 home runs. So he's not going to keep it up at this pace. Nobody's done it in probably 70 years, hitting 400. But he is going to be a beast all season.
Josh Hamilton has only played more than 150 games one time. That was in 2008 when he played 156. Only played 133 games in that MVP year of 2010. Brian, are you still worried about his injury concerns? How many games do you expect him to play for the Rangers this season?
Oh, I'm always worried about his injury concerns. Every time I see him slide into first, I'm thinking he's going to come up with a broken arm or hand or something. But I see him playing, given the fact that it's a contract year. You said he played 156 in 2008. That was his first year here, and he wore down at the end of the season. But given a contract year, he's 32 years old. This is probably going to be his last big contract. I see him forcing himself to play at least 140, 145, maybe 150 games.
All right. If he definitely plays that many games, he probably will make a run at the all-time home run record. Maybe not get to the 73 of Barry Bonds, but possibly the 61 of Roger Maris that some people still say is the true home run record. Whether where you stand on the steroid issue or not, is 61 home runs in range for Josh Hamilton? He's currently on pace for 86.
Yeah, it's certainly in range because he's one of the few guys who hits for massive power and has a great average. So with this guy, he can hit 70 home runs, but again, depends on his health. Depends on how many games he actually plays, how many bats he gets.
What percent chance would you put that he can get to 61 home runs?
because I've seen him play for 5 years, I'm going to put it at 40% because I know he's going on the DL at least once this year.
All right, we'll open it up to everybody now. Jeremy, what percent do you think Josh Hamilton has to get to 61 home runs this season?
Actually, I think Brian's right. I think it's going to be about 40. I mean, that seems low, but if we say he has a 50-50 chance of breaking a record like that, that's pretty ridiculous. I mean, he obviously has the ability. He's shown it this last week and for years past. But, you know, besides the injury concerns, it's just such a difficult number. There's, you know, there's a reason that only one non-controversial player has ever reached it in the history of baseball.
Over to you, KP. What percent chance do you give Josh Hamilton of reaching 61 home runs this year?
I mean, not everyone stays hot the whole season, and they do. I mean, if they do, then they go in the record books. I don't think Josh Hamilton can keep this pace up for the entire season, but I definitely think that he has a very good chance of hitting 50. So I wouldn't be surprised if he breaks that number.
And Angelo, over to you. What do you think about Josh Hamilton's home run barrage so far this season?
Well, it's impressive, first of all, but he's, what, like 30% of the way there with like 4/5 of the season left. I think I'd give it a 58% chance of him getting there.
He goes with the mathematical answer. I'm going to give him only a 20% chance of getting to it. I still am concerned of the injuries, and if you look at his last two seasons, still 57 home runs combined the last 2 years in over 1,000 at-bats. 61 is still a tall number in the heat in Texas. I don't think he'll get there, but I wouldn't be surprised if he does make a run at it. Now, Josh Hamilton's seemingly our May flame. We'll get back to our April flame and Jeremy's love interest, Matt Kemp. He had an MRI on his left hamstring. Looks like he's going to miss a few games, including tonight, Monday night's game, which will end his streak of 399 consecutive games. He's no Cal Ripken. He's not even Lou Gehrig, but that was the longest streak in Major League Baseball. Jeremy, are you at all worried about this Matt Kemp hamstring injury?
You know, an injury to a star player like that is always a little bit worrisome, but I'm not that worried. First of all, Kemp's always had a clean bill of health. You know, he's played all those consecutive games, and he seems to play through anything that bothers him, but I am glad that they finally set him down. I know that he was really against the move. He kept telling Mattingly that he didn't want to go out. He wasn't going to go to the bench. He wasn't going to go on the DL, all this stuff. And it sounds like, you know, it's a few game thing. And, you know, the Dodgers have built a decent cushion to withstand a few games without him. And it's obviously for the better of the team in the long term if he sits out a few games, lets it rest, rehabs, and comes back and starts raking again.
All right, moving over to some injury news. MLB fires arbitrator Shane Doss after he overturns the 100-game suspension of Colorado Rockies catcher Eliezer Alfonso. Of course, he was also the same arbitrator in the Ryan Braun case that got overturned in the offseason, that 50-game suspension. He had been the neutral party since 1999. But either the Players Association or Major League Baseball at any point could fire him when they felt like it. KP, you're the Brewers fan. You're the most invested into the Ryan Braun suspension. Is this the right move by Major League Baseball to move on from this because they're not getting the rulings they're wanting, or is it looking kind of petty?
I think it's more fishy than petty. I mean, the one guy who overturns Ryan Braun's case, I mean, the deciding vote, and now it's like, oh, well, thanks for ruining all of our tests that we're supposed to be doing and kind of disproving the whole steroid testing and PEDs. But I don't know, I saw that come up on my phone, and I was like, huh, how convenient or whatever. So I think it's kind of fishy. I mean, I'll look forward to hearing more about it, or kind of find out why, or read more about Shane Doss, or however you say it, Shane Doss.
Shame Doss.
Shame Doss.
Spelt S-H-Y-A-M, but pronounced Shame. Of course it is.
Yeah. I mean, no shame for him, right?
Definitely has no shame. I'm sure he'll land on his feet. I would like to officially throw my hat into the ring as the next MLB arbitrator. Seems like a fun job. I think I can handle it. That's probably the 10th different job I've thrown my hat into saying I can do. Going over to closer news now, Casey Jansen was named the Blue Jays closer. He's 2-for-2 in saves this week. He is replacing Coco Cardero, who was replacing Sergio Santos. Seems like we've had enough closers this season for a couple seasons worth. And Chris Sale, the White Sox starter, then closer, never saved a game, back to the rotation. Angelo, over in the AL Central, what in God's name are the White Sox doing with Chris Sale? Are they just, do you think they're ruining this guy? Why can't they give him a role and stick with it?
I think you're right about ruining him, Mapes. They're on the right track to do that. I mean, it's not easy for a pitcher to go from, you know, starter to reliever and back and forth. And we know this. We just talked to Bass about this, like, you know, a couple weeks ago. I don't know what they're doing with him. Unless they just feel he's the godsend of pitching and he can do it all, which, come on, we all know. Let's get real. It's not really the case. But he's a good pitcher, but I don't like what they're doing. I think he was fine as a starter.
Who do you think should be the White Sox closer? Sale, Addison Reed, Matt Thornton, Hector Santiago, I believe Jesse Crane's still over there. who should they make the closer in your opinion?
If I was a White Sox fan, I'd say Addison Reed. Saying as a Tigers fan, give me Matt, or what do you call it? Matt Thornton? Yeah, Thornton.
Is this where I throw in my hat into the ring for the closer position?
Sure. You might as well. I'll call up Kenny Williams. I think we know a guy who knows the White Sox. Maybe he can get you a talk with Kenny Williams.
Okay.
For the closer role. We'll text Travis after the show.
Yeah.
See what he can do. Maybe the Cubs role.
I mean, if it comes in slow enough, right? They can't hit that.
That's true. Just float it. Just float it. Speaking of the Cubs, former Cubs closer Carlos Marmol to the DL with a strained hamstring. You'd think this they might have done that a couple weeks ago with just fake an injury to get him out of that closer role, but it is Rafael Dolis's job for now with a little side helping of James Russell. And the other NL Central injury, Scott Rolen to the DL with a strained shoulder. Scott Rolen, one of those guys, he's always just there, making a sneaky case for a possible Hall of Fame bid, but probably won't get there. KP, any of these injuries affect the NL Central too much for you?
I mean, maybe a few years ago I'd say Carlos Marmol, but he's always kind of been his own 30 minutes of terror, like the Frankie Rodriguez. I mean, he walks a lot of people. He has some nasty stuff, but I'm sure everyone in Chicago is, I mean, they boo him every time he comes out now. So as far as they're concerned, it's probably a good riddance. And for Scott Rolen, I mean, he had surgery last year to clean out some stuff on his shoulder in August. And, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, he's batting 174 with two home runs, and that's better than a certain Albert Pujols that I know. So
We will get to some Pujols bashing later. I'm sure Brian is chomping at the bit for anything to say negative about Mr. Pujols. A couple other injuries. Last week we had KP's Brewers injury corner. This week we'll just do Mapes' Rays injury corner really quick. Desmond Jennings to the 15-day DL with a sprained knee. Tonight, Jeff Niemann, a cracked fibula. He looks like to miss a couple of months. Maybe they send Wade Davis back into the rotation, but he has been effective in the bullpen. Not just injuries, though, for the Rays. They do sign Hideki Matsui for the rest of the season. $900,000 deal. He'll start off in the minor leagues, not the one called up when Desmond Jennings went to the DL. Over the going back to the AL Central, Danny Duffy, a torn UCL, looks like he will have Tommy John surgery. Another team just ravaged by injuries this year, the Kansas City Royals. Angelo, what are your thoughts on Danny Duffy? He had looked decently in that rotation at the start of the year for KC.
Well, yeah, I agree with Mapes. He did look good, but the team really isn't going anywhere, so I can't really say that it's like a big loss for them. I mean, yeah, it hurts, but let's get serious. They're not playing up to the my expectations.
That is definitely not to any of our expectations. I think most of us had the Kansas City Royals as an over. I know some guy that his bold prediction was the Kansas City Royals as the second wild card team. I don't know what he was thinking. He's a very silly man. Not just torn UCLs, but torn ACLs as well. Wilson Ramos, the Washington catcher, pretty much the cornerstone there, young player. He has a torn ACL. Looks like he is done for the year. The backup catcher also hurt tonight in a home plate collision. They call up Jesus Flores. Washington hurting behind the backs, behind home plate for now. We'll see if they can do it. And the last bit of news also from the Washington Nationals, Bryce Harper, his first career home run tonight to dead center field. Over the weekend, he also had his first little tirade and smashed his face. What do you guys think is the bigger news? Bryce Harper's first home run or Bryce Harper's first smash face tirade? We'll send it over to you, Jeremy, to start off.
Oh, I'm so glad we're talking about this. I mean, bigger news to me or bigger news to the media, because I don't know if you've noticed, but anything Harper does is, you know, Hall of Fame worthy. He made a running catch the other day, and it was like one of the top plays of the night, and it was a completely normal catch. But I think, personally, the bigger news in the long run, he's going to hit a ton of homers. The bigger news in the long run is the face-smashing incident, because, I mean, I was thinking about it. If he's got an attitude like someone like Milton Bradley, they need to get control of him right now, because you know how that worked out for him. You know, we know that he has kind of a hot head, but if he's doing that after 0 for 5 with 3 strikeouts in one game of his career, I can't imagine what happens if he goes in like a 2-week slump, or if he has an Albert Pujols-esque year. He's going to be smashing everyone's faces.
Brian, over to you. What are your thoughts? What's the bigger news, Bryce Harper's first home run or his first tirade?
I'm going to agree with Jeremy on this one. We all know he's going to hit a lot of home runs. We all know he's a little cocky and tends to blow up, like Jeremy said. I think this is just going to be a long string of home runs and him hitting himself in the face with bats. I don't see it stopping anytime soon.
What do you think will be higher number this year, home runs or tirades by Bryce Harper?
Tirades. He's only 19, guys. Come on.
Over to you, KP. What's the bigger news to you, Bryce Harper's first career home run or his first smash face?
I mean, everyone kind of knew he had a little attitude. I mean, when you hit, I mean, he's raked on every level that he's played on. So why not? I mean, he comes in with a little swag. I mean, that's what you get. I think hitting his home run gets him off the schneid a little bit, so maybe he'll start. I mean, not that he was hitting poorly before, but maybe he'll start smacking out a few more.
Angelo, your thoughts on Bryce Harper's first career home run tonight?
Wait, I can't have the option to say about the face smashing?
Okay, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Would you because, prefer to talk?
Yeah, only because I'm going to be stubborn about it and say the face smashing, like I said earlier. I don't want to make mention to him hitting his first home run the night because I was supposed to be in attendance, so I don't want to talk about it.
we'll prevent you from talking about it any further then and just wrap up the news. I think he will have more home runs than face smashes. That'll do it for the news tonight. We're going to move it over to our three up, three down fantasy segment. We've been hitting and missing here and there, a couple more hits. We gave you a three down on Jordan Walden. We gave you three down on Heath Bell early in the year. But we missed last week. I will apologize personally. Everything I saw said Andrew Cashner would be the closer replacing Houston Street for the San Diego Padres. I was wrong. Jeremy, who should we have actually picked up that is still available in 71% of fantasy baseball leagues?
Well, we should have been scrambling to pick up the man with the mythic mustache, Dale Thayer. If you haven't heard of him, you're not alone. I didn't know who he was until we started researching for this episode, but just a journeyman until getting signed by San Diego earlier this season. And apparently Bud Black went with him the first game that he saved because Cashner had just thrown a lot of pitches the game before, and he did well, and now Black's just kind of sailing with the hot hand, and he got three saves, no runs allowed in seven games, so he was averaging a strikeout per inning, and, you know, he's looking good, but his minor league numbers are pretty awful, honestly, over his career, so I would still keep an eye on Cashner. I mean, common sense says that it would be him eventually taking over that role, even after Street comes back. So, yeah, we were wrong about that, I guess, but I still think that's someone to take a look at. But for now, Dale Thayer, he's got the role until he messes up, so look at him in fantasy leagues. Good pickup.
One of those things, managers fall into that trap where they're just like, well, you did it for me this one time. I'm going to give you another shot until you screw this up. So Dale Thayer, so far, 3-for-3. Doesn't look like he's going to screw things up yet for Bud Black over in San Diego, much to the happiness of friend of the podcast, Anthony Bass. Hopefully he can lock down a couple Anthony Bass wins. Maybe not tomorrow, as Bass is matched up against Steven Strasburg. Going over, we talked about it before, Wilson Ramos torn ACL. If you're scrambling for a catcher replacement for Wilson Ramos, KP has got the guy for you as his three-up player.
Well, if you hadn't heard, aside from the Brewers not playing too well lately, Jonathan Lucroy has been playing extremely well and has throughout most of his career. In the last 10 games, he's batting .368. He's gotten a hit in nine out of 10. And five of them, he's got multi-hit games. He's driven in 8 in his last 10. I mean, he's really hitting hot right now. He bats like 6th, 7th. I mean, somewhere in the bottom to middle. He actually took the 2 spot in a few games this past weekend. So he's definitely in prime position behind Ryan Braun and Aramis Ramirez and Corey Hart to drive them in, and he's swinging a hot bat.
Lucroy definitely doing good, getting the lion's share of the playing time over George Kateris right now in Milwaukee. He's another player you gotta like, especially if you're scrambling to replace Wilson Ramos or our three-down player last week, A.J. Pierzynski. Some other players out there in a bunch of leagues at catcher. Russell Martin, owned in just 34% of leagues in the Yankees, only hitting .182, but in that Yankee lineup, you've got to like his chances. Also, Ryan Domet does have catcher eligibility available in 74% of leagues. He had a home run tonight for Minnesota, seems to be all over the place in that Minnesota lineup, playing the outfield, playing first base, DHing, and catching for Ron Gardenhire. Speaking of Minnesota, they may have found a diamond in the rough. See what I did there?
You stole my line!
You never said that was going to be your line. We got to talk about this in the pre-show meetings. All right, we'll pretend I didn't say it. Just go for it again.
No,
Angelo,
cool.
Who's your three-up player?
Well, I was going to take a page out of Swami's book and say Scott Diamond in the rough, but you ruined it.
Scott Diamonds are forever?
Scott Diamond, there you go.
Scott Diamond is a girl's best friend for girls that play fantasy baseball.
Thought about this, clearly. so Scott Diamond, 3-up player, 2-0, I believe 2-0 this week. He's got a great whip for 14 innings pitched. So far, his whip's at like a .71. Only give him 9 hits and 1 walk, 10 Ks, so. So far, so good. I hate to talk about the Twins in a positive manner, but it's okay. It's what we're here for. But no, He looks good.
Somebody's got to talk about the Twins in a positive manner, because they're not doing so well so far this year.
No.
But, go ahead, Angela.
Oh, I was going to say, I wish I could see him pitch in these next 2 days here when they come to town here Wednesday, Thursday, but he's not pitching.
And definitely you got to like Scott Diamond not walking anybody so far, just one walk in 14 innings pitched. As long as you're not getting yourself into trouble in that ballpark of Target Field, you've got to like Scott Diamond's chances for Minnesota, just owned in 7% of Yahoo Fantasy Leagues. I'm going to go over to the three down portion of the fantasy program for this week. A guy that was very hot in April, almost won my April pitcher of the month on our three up, three down blog, but I gave it to Steven Strasburg over this guy. Jeremy, who is your three-down player for this week?
It is Joe Saunders of the D-backs. Like you said, Mapes, he started off hot, like real good. He had a 1.24 ERA through his first few starts up until May 7th, and his last two has seen his ERA just in two starts jump up 2 full points. So now, you know, it's still a respectable number. He's still at 3.43. His K-to-walk ratio is still good overall. But when we're talking about recent performances, his last two starts, he's gone 8 1/3 innings, 19 hits, 12 or 13 earned runs, 4 homers. Just, he's lost all control, and he's not doing anything right. And obviously, you know, the D-backs are struggling as a whole this season, but they need to ride that pitching again if they want to, you know, compete for the playoffs, because they've got the offense, sure, but, you know, we've all seen that outside of the Yankees, you're not going to go anywhere if you don't have good pitching. Even the Rangers had good pitching, Brian.
Yeah. The Diamondbacks still hurting with the loss of Daniel Hudson out of the rotation for now. Only time will tell if they call up Tyler Skaggs and Trevor Bauer this season if they need it. If Joe Saunders is going to keep giving up 6 earned runs in each of his starts, we might see those guys sooner rather than later. Joe Saunders' ERA has ballooned from 1.24 to 3.43 in just his last two starts. I'm going to go over to my three-down player for this week. I've done good not bashing the Mets. They've done well so far this season, over 500. No thanks to Frank Francisco out of the bullpen. This is one of the big keys coming into the year why I dislike the Mets. I said the bullpen wasn't going to be there. Frank Francisco has proven me right so far. Even though he got the save tonight, it was not very well done. He had a 3-run lead, gave up a run, 2 walks, and a hit. Just gross right now. His ERA is over 8.5. Still striking guys out, but the whip at 1.97, just not numbers you want from your closer. I think you might see Bobby Parnell, you might see John Roush get a shot sooner rather than later in that Mets bullpen. Frank Francisco still 70% owned. I would drop Francisco for Dale Thayer right now in a heartbeat until, or even Rafael Dolis if he's still out there in your league. Just get them in there and then kick them to the curb the next time another closer comes to free agents. The last three-down player, probably the biggest name we have had on the three-up, three-down segment for the down portion so far. Brian, who is your three-down player for this week?
Well, just like you've done a good job of not bashing the Mets, I have done, I guess, a good job of bashing the Angels. Well, it's Albert Pujols. Now, I highly do not recommend you drop him, because at some point he should start hitting. History would show you. But again, he only has 12 RBI for the year, which previously in his career, his lowest amount for a month is 17. And he's hitting 194 on the season. He's 0 for 3 tonight. He's just not hitting. Something's wrong with him. So if you have place, if you have a place on your bench, I recommend you put him there, but do not drop him because he will turn it around at some point, I would assume.
Who would you rather have for the rest of the year? I'm going to start throwing names at you. You just say the name who you'd rather have. Currently fifth on the Yahoo Player Rater, the highest ranked first base eligible player. Would you rather have Albert Pujols or Edwin Encarnacion for the rest of the year?
Oh, if I had to pick right now, give me Pujols because Encarnacion plays in Toronto. He's got the dome. But, man, Pujols gets to play again in Arlington, which he's previously owned in his career. So I'm going to go Pujols.
Would you rather have Pujols or two-time National League Player of the Week Freddie Freeman rest of the year?
Career Freddie Freeman this year, Pujols.
Would you rather have matched his home run total from last season at 11 already, leads first baseman in that total, Adam Dunn or Albert Pujols for the rest of the year?
Give me Adam Dunn.
Now we're finally hitting a baseline where we're seeing where you would rather go. Would you rather have Paul Konerko or Albert Pujols?
Pujols.
All right. Last one. Would you rather have Billy Butler hitting .285 with six home runs on the year or Albert Pujols?
Well, given the – well, yeah. Billy Butler's more versatile because he is a solid DH, which he plays most of the time. But I still have to go Pujols as a first baseman.
All right. Well, that's it right now. Albert Pujols definitely came into the year as a top three player on most everybody's list. If you were redrafting right now, I don't think you take him before the third round based on what he has done this season. That'll do it for three up, three down for this week. Moving it over to our matchups to watch. A lot of fun this week. No team has an off day. Every team plays 7 games in 7 days, 2 2-game series, and then our first taste of some delicious interleague pie. Gonna start it off with some interleague goodness. Angelo, your AL Central matchup to watch this week.
I've got the Cleveland Indians hosting the Miami Marlins. Some decent pitching matchups. I'm actually really interested in the Friday night matchup. You've got Zimbrano facing Masterson, so that should be decent. But, I mean, Indians are in first place in the AL Central. Miami's making a charge, so it should be a good little series.
Miami Marlins definitely have been on fire as of late, especially on their homestand. Carlos Zambrano, a key portion of that, just a 1.88 ERA and a 1.04 whip. Been very impressive for Ozzie Guillen's squad there. Gonna go over to the AL West. Brian, one of your teams is in your matchup to watch this week.
Yeah, I really wanted to go with Houston and Texas because this is the last time the Rangers will be going to Houston when Houston is still in the National League. But seeing as Houston's not very good, I'm going to have to go to the A's and the Rangers because the A's are currently in second place in the American League West. When on Wednesday you got Yu Darvish going up against Tommy Malone. And then Thursday you got Matt Harrison going against the former Ranger, Brandon McCarthy. So it should be a pretty good series, good pitching matchups all the way around.
Yeah, definitely just a quick little 2-game series there, but the Athletics could definitely try and pick up some momentum gain. If they can sweep that, gaining 2 grounds is huge the way the Texas Rangers have been playing. I'm going to go over to my AL East matchup to watch. It is the New York Yankees against the Baltimore Orioles. The Yankees won today's game 8-5 over the Orioles, and then we get a nice little pitching matchup tomorrow. CC Sabathia, the ace of that Yankee staff, 5-0 on the year, taking on Wei-Yin Chen, 3-0 on the year with a 2.68 ERA. Anytime you get two pitchers combined for 8-0 so far. It's going to be a good little game at Oriole Park in Camden Yards. The Orioles, of course, the biggest surprise. Maybe not the biggest. Both teams on the Beltway, Baltimore and the Washington Nationals, have been big surprises this season. Gonna go over now. You know what? I'll just stick in the East, keeping with the surprises. One of my NL East matchups to watch. I couldn't pick just one this week. One of them is the one I just alluded to, the Baltimore Orioles and the Washington Nationals. Both teams, huge surprises. This is the first time that these two teams are facing each other in interleague play with both of them over 500 this late into the season. Kind of good to watch. I did some Mets bashing before. I will do some Mets praising. It's a battle between third, maybe fourth place teams, but the Blue Jays and Mets should be an entertaining series. Both teams currently over 500. You didn't see that coming at the beginning of the year. But my number one matchup to watch, a possible World Series matchup in the future, the Atlanta Braves against the Tampa Bay Rays this weekend, should be a very good one. As those teams take on each other in Tampa, Tommy Hansen against James Shields in game one. Tommy Hansen coming off a good start against the St. Louis Cardinals on Sunday, then followed by Randall Delgado. And, well, it says Jeff Niemann, but we know it's not going to be Jeff Niemann now with his cracked fibula this evening. They'll have to call up a replacement or bring in Wade Davis out of the bullpen. And the last matchup, probably the best of the three, Tim Hudson against David Price on Sunday. The Braves just came off a sweep of the St. Louis Cardinals, though, this past weekend. KP, I know the Cardinals are facing the Dodgers this weekend. Is that going to be our NL Central and NL West matchup to watch for this week?
You bet it is. As much as I'd like to say the Brewers versus the Twins is a marquee matchup, and border battle for sure. But too bad it's but like the cellar teams right now. Hopefully not by the weekend. But as much as I'd love to talk about the Cardinals, I actually have a special guest. In fact, Jeremy's girlfriend and Cardinals enthusiast Kelsey Shea is joining us tonight on the podcast.
Woo!
Yeah.
Well, hello.
So, I'm going to pass it to her to talk about the Cardinals, so I don't have to.
All right.
Kelsey, why will the Cardinals beat the Dodgers this weekend? Don't make your boyfriend cry.
I'm going to try my best. Well, the Cardinals are going to win because, first of all, I think we've been more consistent throughout the season. Yes, the Dodgers started off 9-1, and yes, they have a better record. But with the exception of your Braves, you know, taking 3 out of 3, we've been doing pretty well in each series, taking about 2 out of 3 out of every series. I think we have a great lineup. Our starting pitching is doing great for us. We might need a little bit of work in the bullpen. But we have a hard-hitting lineup, and Carlos Beltran is hot right now. So I'm hoping that I'm going to predict that we're going to stay on our path and take 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers again. Yeah, we're going 2 out of 3.
2 out of 3. Jeremy, why will the Dodgers beat the Cardinals? And you better start getting worried, especially if Matt Kemp might not be there for this series.
Good point.
Well, first of all, I think that Kemp will be back. They said that he's just going to be out a few days. So, you know, you never know, but obviously it'd be a big help if he was. The reason that we are going to beat the Cardinals, besides the fact that we have to so that I have bragging rights on Kelsey, is that, yeah, they've been more consistent, I guess, with, you know, constantly winning 2 out of 3 most series, except for your Braves. Let's keep making Mapes happy.
Happy Mapes is happy.
Exactly. That's all for you, buddy. But besides that fact, I mean, that's all fine and dandy, but, you know, the Dodgers still have a better record by 3 games, and I completely agree with Kelsey, first of all, about the offense. Their offense is ridiculous, and it is terrifying for everyone that has to face them, let's be real. Beltran, scary guy. He's much better than Pujols has been this year, so not missing anything. But the Dodgers are one of those teams, at least right now. First of all, they're playing real hot right now. They're one of those teams that find ways to win. Like, even, you know, we've gone 5-1, I believe, in our last six games, and we're leading the D-backs tonight again. And it's mostly been without Matt Kemp because, sure, he's been playing, but he's been playing on one leg, and he's been in a huge slump. He's got, like, a 250 average. I think it's even lower than 250 in the last week and a half. So, you know, he's still a big presence in the lineup, but the fact that we were able to win 5 out of 6 without him, basically, without him contributing, is huge. And obviously the pitching, too. I mean, they have bigger names, but our guys have been performing just as well. So we'll see. It'll be a great matchup. We got, just to run down the pitching matches for you real quick, we got Ted Lilly and Lance Lynn, first game on Friday, and Clayton Kershaw versus Jake Westbrook Saturday, Chad Billingsley, Kyle Loesch on Sunday. So they all match up pretty well. I think, you know, they probably have the edge right now with Lance Lynn on Friday, the way he's been pitching, but he did just get lit up in his last start, so you never know.
What team did Lance Lynn get lit up by?
You know, I think it was your Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, it was. It was.
You
oh
don't
my
want
God.
To talk about that. It didn't happen.
It doesn't matter. You're going to cry if the Cardinals win. You're going to cry if the Cardinals lose.
You know me too well, mate.
It's true. It's true. Kelsey, one quick question, though. Lance yes. Berkman, back off the DL, return tonight 2-for-4 with a double in his return to the Cardinals. They have mm-hmm. all this offensive weapons. John Jay's been playing great, hitting .343. Alan Craig been on fire coming off the DL. Matt Carpenter was a great replacement. It was Carlos Beltran, actually, who got the night off tonight. Who do you see? How do you see that shaking out? Who's going to lose the playing time, you think, with the return of Lance Berkman?
Well, it's real hard because we do have so many great offensive threats. Second base is kind of the position that we've been rotating around lately. When we need defense, we play Descalso there. We've got Skip. We've got Tyler Green, who's been off to a good start, too. Yeah, it's interesting with putting Alan Craig in the mix because that's been a big question is where is he going to go? We found a way to play him most days because he is such an offensive threat and because Berkman's been on the DL, but now that Berkman's back, Craig is usually an outfielder. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting. We just sent Shane Robinson back down. I'm not really sure what's going to happen with that. I think Matheny is definitely a manager, though, that likes to give starters a rest. So I wouldn't be surprised if they all kind of stick around. So, yeah, hopefully, I mean, I don't feel like it's a problem. If we've got too much offense, that's fine with me.
Now, have you guys, I know the series doesn't start till Friday, but have you guys made your quote-unquote friendly wager on the series yet?
I don't know if there's a friendly wager to be made for this one, man. This is going to be intense.
Series. This is the definition of our relationship right here.
Deal breaker. The Dodgers lose the series. I don't know.
Could it be over?
About fun little wagers. We haven't come up with anything specific yet. So if any
suggestions,
any
welcome.
Suggestions, yeah.
I think the loser should fly the winner out to New York City and come visit me.
Ooh.
That's going to be great.
Too bad I don't have money.
No, well, I tried. I just want to be visited.
We're both with you in spirit.
We need to get the 3-up, 3-down reunion on track. Maybe we'll see what happens with that in the future. But, Kelsey, thank you for coming on this weekend and talking about the Cardinals so KP didn't have to say nice things about them.
Thank you for having me. I would have been nice to hear KP talk nice about the Cardinals, but I'm glad to hear it.
Not happening.
Welcome back anytime. Hopefully next time the Cardinals play the Braves, we'll have you on again, and I will tell you once again why the Braves will beat your team.
All right. I'm will be glad to fight you on that one.
That'll do it for us this week. We like once again to thank Kelsey Shea for joining us, bringing a little female flavor back to 3 Up, 3 Down. Also like to thank everybody else on the Baseball Roundtable, Jeremy Dorn, Kurt Peter, Angela Felicia, and Brian Boynton. Make sure everybody you follow us on Twitter at 3U3D. Like us on Facebook, 3Up3Down. That is, once again, for the 11th straight week, that is all words, no numbers in that if you're searching that in the little toolbar on the top of the screen. Email us, 3U3DBaseball@gmail.com. And, of course, the blog, the most important out of all of those, I think, 3U3D.mlblogs.com. You set our personal record at over 400 views today. That is 100 plus over our old record. Apparently, people like Yankee Stadium garlic fries. That's been getting a lot of views for us, apparently.
Who doesn't?
They are, quite frankly, delicious. That's going to do it for us. Sorry we ran out of time. We will definitely get to Eddie Mata the next time. I swear. Not really.